All right. I also want to encourage you to be a part of something here. Oftentimes we do this around the first of the year. We're a month behind on the first of the year. But I think first of the year can be a good time to have a bit of a reset, a re-seeking of God, and to fast some. Oh, no, that word is not fun. I know that. But it is a powerful thing, honestly, to exchange some of the things that we really, really enjoy for enjoying the Lord in that place and seeking him and asking him to fill even more, to take over even more, to transform our minds, all of those things. And I found that, you know, in life oftentimes that, particularly in the world we're living now, that entertainment, our phones, computers, all those things are constantly trying to grab our attention and to entertain us. I've just realized that, you know, in studying some of history, you see that throughout history, it was only the kings who were entertained every day. But now it's every person, almost every moment, looking, it's like an automatic, you're looking for the phone to be, you're being entertained by social media, by news, by sports, by whatever it is. It's trying to just continually captivate our attention. And I think it's good to break free of that sometimes. Let the Lord have those spots. Look to him. Maybe read, listen for him, and change that pattern in our lives. And so I want to encourage you after the Super Bowl, not right now, after wings and pizza, to tomorrow with me to go for about 21 days. But you don't have to do 21, you can do 2. You can do 1, you can do 10. Whatever God puts on your heart, there's zero pressure, but I want to invite you to, with me and several of us here, to fast, some kind of fast for the next 21 days till the 25th of February. And that can be a variety of different things. Can be the social media type stuff or the entertainment type stuff, all electronic type of things other than what you have to do for work. Or maybe you decide, you know, once a week I'm going to look, you know, go on social media, but I'm going to take 6 days off, something along those lines. And also with food, adjust some eating habits. I'm going to do, for me personally, I'm going to do more of a Daniel type of fast over these next 21 days, cutting out some sugars and meats and some of the floury stuff, and stick to more some vegetables and things like that. Any way that you want, I just encourage you all to just ask the Lord, Lord, would you like me to participate in this? What would you like me to exchange, to give up? And it's one of those things that it's not a social media is horrible, food is bad. It's not demonizing anything. It's simply exchanging and saying, God, I want you more than those things. I want to spend time with you more than those things. I'm asking for direction for certain areas. I'm asking for more power in my life. And there's a powerful thing related to fasting. So encourage you to be a part of that. There's several ways you can do it, but just invite you to ask the Lord, what is it that he would have you do? And just go for it. And he'll give you the strength to do it. There's not a law. It's not a religious pressure. None of that stuff. It's an invitation, really. And that's how the Lord does things. So, all right, there's the fasting stuff. I want to talk about today part 2 of the kingdom. This is a series that I'm hoping to go at least 3 parts here of the kingdom. We've not done this in a couple of years. And I get so excited about this that I feel like I'm going to burst, to be honest. And then I also feel like I have a fire hose of things to talk about, a garden hose of time. And it just is one of those things that's pretty remarkable. If you would with me open up your hearts, minds to what the Lord has for us today and ask that he would help us, help me to communicate and communicate to our hearts by his Spirit beyond my words as well. So let's just pray together for a quick moment. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are here, that you are alive, that you're inside of us, that you are leading us into from glory to glory, that you're changing us into the image of Jesus more and more every day, that every year we get closer to the return of Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing on the earth. Thank you for joining on the inside of us. And I ask, Holy Spirit, we ask together that you'd speak to us, that you would put in our hearts the things that are on your heart, that you would communicate to us in ways beyond words by your Spirit, revelation from heaven, revelation that you have for us to understand, to grow in, to walk in, to live in. And I give this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The kingdom of heaven, as I mentioned last week, when you just saying those words conjures up several different things depending on the person. For some people, it's a boring thing. For some people, it's just a religious word. For other people, it is something that is incredibly powerful but probably misunderstood a bit. So I want to dive into this, and I'll tell you what, talk about having the freedom to talk about something. The kingdom of heaven is what Jesus talked about more than any other topic, more than anything else. And so if Jesus is talking about that more than anything else, then I think there is great freedom for us to dive in, talk about, discuss, kick it around. And even more than that, here's what Jesus said. Matthew 6:33, everyone knows this. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, speaking of food, clothing, housing, anything else you need, promotions, will be added to you. Jesus is saying, if you will seek this first, beyond what you may understand right now, if you'll just make a priority of seeking the kingdom first, above everything else, I will, God will, by his Spirit, add to us everything else that's needed. It's like those things follow behind us. It's upside down from the world system. Doesn't even make sense up here. But Jesus is saying, I'm telling you guys something. I'm telling you something. If you can just trust me on this, if you will seek this kingdom first, everything else is gonna happen for you. But the temptation is, and the problem is in our culture and in our lives, is that we end up seeking so many other things above the kingdom. And so then it's a striving. Then we can get into striving. We get into frustration, all kinds of frustration. We get into numbing things on the inside of us because things are just aren't going the way they're supposed to go. When things get out of alignment with this thing right here, things get out of whack. In the Passion Translation, the same verse says this, so above all, constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom. Constantly chase after it. And the righteousness that proceeds from him, the righteousness that is imputed, that comes from him, grab a hold of that righteousness. Then you're not trying to make your own, right? Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. That's a great way to say it. Everything else comes in abundance if we will do the first things first. If we'll make what Jesus says is the priority, the priority. Some of the difficulty, I think, with this topic and even talking about this is the lack of definition, I think, of what the kingdom is. What is this thing that I'm supposed to be seeking? What does it look like? What is it? What are its parameters? What is that thing? It's so different than, you know, just an object that you could display. And I think that's part of the difficulty of that. And I also think that over time, what Jesus said has been dumbed down. And I think it's been reduced significantly into something that it is not. And it's not appealing any longer. When you say kingdom, oftentimes you just think of church stuff. That is not what Jesus was talking about when he said, seek this above everything else. He wasn't just talking about church stuff. It has gotten so reduced. Religion has reduced the pursuit of the kingdom of God. That's one of the greatest evils right there, is a religious spirit that reduces and restricts and puts a lid and a cap on what Jesus said was spectacular and awesome and the thing to be desired above everything else. And so we have to recover this. We really do. We miss so much if we don't have it. And it's been so misinterpreted along with being reduced. When in reality, a renewed person, a kingdom person who is a child of God, who's just been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, this kingdom we're talking about, there should be something that there's whistles and there's bells and there is tingling and there is an awe and a wonder at just the mention of the kingdom of God. If that's not there, then I'm missing something. Then I have allowed it to be reduced so much inside of me that it's just another word. Jesus didn't want us to do that. He kept talking about it over and over and over. And not just while he was walking the earth before the resurrection, but after the resurrection, he had 40 more days. And what does he spend that time as a resurrected Savior doing with his disciples, talking about the kingdom more? He's explaining it to them more. He's saying, guys, I've been talking about this for 3.5 years. Let me talk about this some more. He emphasizes it just as much his last 40 days on the planet as he did the 3.5 years before. It's that important to get a hold of, to seek first, to grab, to chase after with all that we have. And I know that it's tough. It's tough for me in some ways as well. Like, it's like, I think of, Jesus was always using these analogies. Of course, he spoke in parables, he spoke in stories. He's always using analogies to try and get us to understand a little bit of a different reality, of a superior reality, by using something in the natural. He did that over and over and over again. He kept saying the kingdom is like. We'll talk about those in a moment. And so I want to say the kingdom might be a little bit like when you say the universe. If I were to say the universe, you know, that is so big. Trillions of miles, so vast. It's still expanding. Trillions of stars, planets. It's so vast. You talk about black holes and all these kind of things. It's like, that's overwhelming. Okay, so I'll look up every once in a while and just go, God, you're amazing. And that's about, you know, I'm not gonna try and figure all this stuff out. And that's okay when it comes to the universe. But the kingdom is a little bit similar in that it is so vast, but Jesus says, I want you to seek it. I want you to search it out. I want you to discover. It's as if Jesus coming into this world shows us something that we've never seen before and it's never been revealed to mankind before. And he's saying to this brand new creatures, all these new creatures, I have a new world for you to discover. Would you seek after it? Because I'll show it to you. If you'll seek it, I will reveal it. If you pursue it, I'll let it be found. But if we don't, then what we're left with is church stuff and religion. And we're left with all manner of other things that try and fill the void and the vacuum without the kingdom. Because the kingdom is meant to fill all. It's meant to be the main pursuit in all of the earth. But when it's not, everything else is jumping in to take that place. And there are things that don't work. They don't work well at all. And I don't have this all figured out either, by the way. But let me talk a little about, slightly a bit of definition, and then I would like to also talk about what it isn't. Because sometimes identifying what it isn't helps clarify what it is. I remember a friend of mine, when I was in Bible school, we had to start a small group. That was part of the curriculum. We had to start a small group. And so this one girl in our group, she started a home group, and she hated it. She absolutely hated it. I remember her coming to the instructor halfway through and she said, I hate this. Hate everything about it. Hate leading it. It's a pain. And the leader said, well, you've identified what you're not called to then, haven't you? Now that's helpful. He didn't blast her for it. Said, well, you're not called to that then, are you? And it was true. She wasn't. So sometimes identifying what something isn't really does help clarify what is. So I want to talk a little bit about that, but I also want to talk about what it is to the best of my ability to try and describe a little of this, of what Jesus described as well. The kingdom's been talked about from Genesis on. It's all throughout the Bible. It's used oftentimes of man-made kingdom type stuff and also God's kingdom. It, in essence, means a sphere of influence or a dominion, a domain or realm of a king. It's a realm that a king rules. That would be the very quick and easy definition of kingdom, a realm of the king. But it's much, much bigger than that, this realm. There's so much packed into this realm of the king and the kingdom of heaven. It includes the good news. In fact, the gospel is not alone. It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's what Jesus kept talking about. It's the good news of the kingdom. It's got all of the healing in it. It's got salvation in it. It's got everything you need is in the kingdom. It's jam-packed. It's full. It's robust. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there's another aspect of the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy are in this kingdom. Here's some of the things that Jesus said it is like. He was trying to compare it to things in the natural to give us an understanding of what this kingdom spiritually is like. And he used so many different things. I'm only going to use a portion of them. Again, he talked about this more than anything else. He said it's like a mustard seed in the soil. Starts tiny, but it grows large, so much so that there are birds resting on the limbs of this large plant, tree. So it grows. The kingdom of God, in other words, the kingdom, it starts really small, maybe in the heart of a person, and then it keeps growing and growing. And then at some point, it provides rest for other people. It keeps growing. It keeps expanding. He uses a similar analogy when he says this. That was Matthew 13. In Matthew 13, 33, he says, it's like leaven that's in dough. Of course, leaven is a single-celled microorganism. It's fungi. And it takes 20 billion yeast cells to get 1 gram of yeast. 20 billion little microorganisms to get 1 gram of this stuff. But when it's in dough, it spreads and touches everything, causes it to rise. Jesus is saying the kingdom is like this. It's like leaven. It's tiny, microscopic, but it invades every space and it wants to, and it causes things to grow. He said it's like a treasure in a field. He said, a man finds this treasure, he sees the value of it, so he puts it back in the ground, rehides it, and then he goes and he says, I want to buy that field. And he sells everything else he has to buy that field because that treasure is so beautiful and powerful and valuable that it's worth everything else that he has. Jesus says the kingdom's like that. It's so valuable that once you get a glimpse of it and what it is really like and the value it really holds, you're willing to let go of everything else in your life. That's amazing. If we really see it. Here was one guy who saw it. He said it's like a merchant seeking pearls in verse 45 of Matthew 13. So valuable again that he was willing to sell everything else to get that one pearl, that pearl of great price. In verse 47, same chapter, he says, it's like a dragnet catching all kinds of fish. It's gonna catch all kind of stuff. And part of what I think has been reduced in our understanding of the kingdom is that it is only relegated to the church, when in fact, the kingdom is supposed to gather everything. It's supposed to touch government, economics, education, medicine, church, family, relationships, food, everything. The kingdom is like a huge dragnet, and it's diverse. It's for every person on the planet, every tribe and tongue. It's huge. It's not small. It's not supposed to be compartmentalized. It really is like the universe in that sense. Huge. When we compartmentalize the kingdom, then it becomes something religious. And it gets so reduced that who wants to seek that? If we have a God understanding, if our mind is renewed and Jesus says, seek the kingdom, this like fireworks go off. Oh my goodness, this is huge. This is all encompassing. This touches every part of life. It's supposed to be that way. Here's a small definition that I have here. The kingdom is the invasion of the rule and reign and power and freedom of Jesus into the world system, like a holy contagion that will fully take over at the return of Jesus. And its value is the highest of values, worth trading in everything to pursue it. It's spectacular. We use the word, here's a word that has been reduced as well, awesome. You know, everything could be awesome. Oh, awesome. Yeah, I went there today. It was awesome. That word, being in awe, is like mouth agape, heart pounding, eyes fixed. You can't believe what you're looking at. The kingdom is supposed to be that. And it is a realm that invades. If you put the first slide up there, you saw this one during worship here for a second, but this is some of my definitions. I'm trying to explain some of this. Here's the earth. You've got the sun over here, obviously on this side, illuminating, and you see stark contrast there between darkness and light. Where the sun hits is light, and as the world is spinning, you've got light invading the darkness. You've got the realm of light invading and chasing away the realm of darkness. You go to the next one there. This is a night day photo. They combined a shot at night and a shot in the day. And it reminded me of the kingdom of light penetrating darkness. It wants to invade. It's like light invading the night. And one more. There's another one, of course, that's the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. We're light, you see the darkness, but it is like light because God is light, for one, but light, when it comes into a room, it changes. You can see everything clearly. The kingdom is like that. When the kingdom invades and it penetrates the darkness, then all of a sudden you can see. Things become clear. What you didn't know existed suddenly is visible. That's what the kingdom is like. And we're going to talk next week about where it is and how it moves in one sense. But let me talk about some of the things that the kingdom is not. One of the things it's not is it's not the church. So that's a really important to understand. I would say probably 99% of all believers don't know that. The kingdom is not the church. The church is to be built up, to be edified. It's the body of Christ. It's the pillar and support of the truth in the earth. It's the place where fellowship happens and people's lives grow and are touched and encouraged and equipped and all those things. It's his body. But that the church is in the kingdom. And then at the same time, the kingdom is inside of every individual member. So it's both. But it's not just a church thing. No. It's so much larger. The kingdom is a realm. The church is a body. A lot different. Yet the church contains the kingdom that we get to give away. I mean, it's mysterious. It's mysterious, but it's beautiful. And Jesus, again, I keep saying this, he says, seek it above everything else. You need to understand this. Pursue it. Find out what this is, so that you can spread it. The church needs to be built up and edified. The kingdom doesn't. The kingdom exists on its own. It is unshakable, has all power. There's nothing missing. It doesn't need to get built up. It needs to get spread. It needs to get shared. Completely different than the church. The kingdom is also not a system. It's not a system. It's not check marks. It's not the law. Thank God. Right? It's so different. It's living. It's not a system. It's also not something only found in the future. That sometimes is an understanding. That it's just, you know, in the by and by and, you know, on that cloud with the harps playing and all that, that'll be the kingdom. This kingdom will grow and expand through all ages, the Bible says. So it will be there as well, but it's not just there, it's here. It's here, it's now. The kingdom is now, and it's there as well. It's not earned. It's not visible to the human eye most of the time, but it's the most desirable thing to the heart if we allow it. I was, several years ago when I worked for the government, there was a period of time in the early 90s that I was traveling a lot, and I went to the former USSR, one of the republics there, one of the countries there that had spun off of what was the USSR. And I spent over, I think it was about a month and a half there. I stayed in this little apartment, and I was riding the bus and the train every single day, a lot of snow and cold, but it was a world like I've never seen before. If any of you were in one of the former Soviet countries early in the 90s, it may be still the same, I don't know, I've not been back today. The way I described it, and I was in my 20s, the way I described it was that the Grinch came in and stole every bit of life and color and joy out of an entire nation. I'd be riding on a bus or on a train. They got these trams all over the place, and everyone looks like a shell. All of the buildings were gray, every one of them. All the buildings are one color, gray. There's no music and dancing. There's no joy in life. There's no hello. There's no smiles. I didn't see a smile for a month and a half. The Grinch stole it all. And that Grinch is called the kingdom of communism. It's communism. And it is a kingdom-like thing, not the kingdom of heaven, one of the kings of the earth meant to steal, kill, and destroy. It was an enemy-inspired kingdom. But the effects of 70 years of that in Russia, in the USSR, the results of that was a shell of a nation and a shell of people. And even if you were outside, which I was a lot, I walked a lot there, and some of the beautiful trees or the hills or the rivers, you could see all that stuff, but you could still feel that you were in the realm of communism. Because that spirit of death, basically, in many ways, touched every part of that realm. It was ruled by a guy. Communism. I was also in Romania during that time period, and East Germany as well. And it was so similar, especially East Germany, because the Russians had taken that over. Romania with Ceausescu. I was there just after Ceausescu was kicked out or killed. Went by his huge house, palace. And similar feel. Joy gone. Hope gone. Morality not there. This Grinch of the enemy came and stole so much from so many millions of people. When it's not the kingdom of heaven, it's the kingdom of something else. And that something else, and I'm going to say it, even capitalism, all of the isms are a counterfeit for the kingdom of heaven. Doesn't matter what it is. And there are some great things in capitalism. I'm not comparing it to communism in that sense. It's just not fully the kingdom. It may have some elements of it, but it is far from what Jesus was talking about when he said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And part of the problem throughout history from the moment Jesus was here and he shared with us what to do and what to seek and what to give away is that we didn't do that. And we gave away religion instead. And we gave away law instead and forms instead. And then that was so lousy that there was still a vacuum, so communism and socialism. How about socialism? It's just as evil. It steals. It robs. And the kingdom of heaven is what we have needed to give away all along. When we give the kingdom of heaven away, when we seek it first, then what is happening is Jesus is coming out of us because he is the king of that kingdom. It's interesting to me too, just as you look at history, you look at the context of the setting of the Gospels. You look at the context here of these four Gospels that we have and what happened in history at this moment as well. I think it's important to understand the kingdom of heaven. About 30 years before Jesus is born, the Roman Empire started. There had never been an empire quite like that on the planet until the Roman Empire. And its plan was to basically conquer and then have these outposts of its kingdom, the Roman Empire, throughout the whole earth until it took over everything. And it was driven by a desire for food and for slaves to work for them so that a class of people, the elite class, could stay wealthy. So it was driven by those things, the Roman Empire. So here comes this empire. It takes over Israel. Israel hadn't been taken over like that in a while, not in this way. And this kingdom, put up that slide if you want mine, the last one. This is a picture of the Roman Empire. You'll see, let's say 133 BC, before Jesus, the middle green color there, AD 14. That's what it, that was the empire in Jesus' time. That medium green color, which is all the way around the Mediterranean. And then at the height of the Roman Empire is AD 117, where it goes all the way up, even gets the British island up there. It's expansive. And it's trying to continue to grow and to grow and to take over and to dominate. Do you know how many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people were crucified under the Romans? Jesus wasn't the only one or the other two guys that day. There were hundreds of thousands. One army with 6,000 men that were captured, they crucified all of them. An army that they conquered, they crucified every single one of the soldiers they conquered. It was a violent dictatorship that was crushing people and lives, the Roman Empire. And this just gets started, and God says, the Father says, now's the time. While the world is doing and expanding its own version of kingdom, I'm going to insert my king. I'm going to insert my king. And he sends Jesus right in the midst of this as it starts. As the Roman Empire is starting to expand, just 30 years in, here comes Jesus born. And of course, a king, King Herod, of that kingdom, that Roman Empire, hears from the wise men that there's a new king that's been born. So what does he do? He said, I'm going to crush him. I'm going to kill him. So all these babies die trying to kill the king of the kingdom. The enemy is like that. He hates the kingdom. He hates the king of the kingdom. And he hates it to expand, which is why he's trying to reduce it all the time in our hearts and lives. So that we're not really giving that away, we're giving something else away. That's just what the enemy does. But in this Roman Empire that is expanding, here comes Jesus, and he is the representation of the kingdom of heaven. You can't separate the kingdom from the king. He's the embodiment of the kingdom of heaven. He's coming as the Savior, as the Lamb of God. He's also coming as the king of a brand new kingdom that's supposed to stretch and will around the entire earth for all time to come and into eternity. And everyone who believes in him and trusts in him joins this kingdom, is a part of it, and then has it to give away, and eternity begins in their heart at that moment. Eternity is not after you die. Eternity starts the moment you believe. And that goes on forever. You get to live forever. Incredible what Jesus has done. He is the picture of the kingdom. If you want to know what the kingdom is like, it's like Jesus. Because he's the king of it. He's the capital of the kingdom. He's the heartbeat of the kingdom. What he says is kingdom-like. What he does is part of a demonstration of this kingdom. When he heals somebody, in fact, he did that, right? Remember, he would heal someone or he cast out a demon. And he said, if that happens, then the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. So when a demonstration of power comes, that's a realm of the kingdom that has now taken over a spot. And that is what we are here to do. People can get incredibly bored with church, and oftentimes there's good reason for that. Because we're not supposed to be all about an organization. We're supposed to be about the kingdom, which is so much larger. Then the organization helps fuel and encourage and build up so that we can see this vast kingdom that each of us are a part of wherever we are in our sphere of our world. And in the jobs that we have and the families we have, then we can bring the kingdom wherever we are. It's what Jesus intended, desires of us then and now. There's more to talk about this, and we'll do it next week. Let me leave you this last scripture and then something I want to read together that I put together. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in words only, right? But in power. The kingdom of God is not just a bunch of words. It's power with it. And that power is to flow through you and I. This kingdom that we get to give away. I want to encourage you to seek the kingdom. To pursue it. To chase after it with everything you have. To trade whatever you have to. Maybe for the next 3 weeks, it's some food and entertainment. To pursue this kingdom. To say, God, I've got to understand this. I've been living my whole life as a Christian or a good portion or 5 years or 10 years or whatever it is, and I don't understand this. I'm asking that you would put inside of me, infuse inside of me a desire for the kingdom like you have a desire for the kingdom. I'm asking that you would change my mindset so I'm not just a follower of you, but I'm a seeker of the kingdom and I give the kingdom away. And I see it as taking over the whole earth. We're not supposed to be more nationalistic than we are kingdom-minded. The kingdom is above all. Thank you, Lord, for this nation. But more importantly is the kingdom of heaven, which you hold and contain and have the ability to give away. If we can put up this last thing, what I'm calling, I wrote this called the Kingdom Manifesto. My little bit description of what this is. So I'm just gonna read it. The kingdom of heaven is here now, in us, upon us, at hand, and coming to fully take over upon the return of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the kingdom of heaven in human form, and his heart is the capital of this kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is the Father's redemptive invasion of his children, and the affection of Jesus is the explosive power within it. The kingdom of God is good news to the poor, the release of every captive, sight to all blind, the setting free of broken victims, and the proclamation of the Lord's favor. The kingdom of heaven is the expression of God's love as a redemptive contagion with infinite possibilities for everyone, everywhere. The kingdom of heaven is a future hope and a present experience with the power to transform hearts, minds, and any society that receives it. The kingdom of heaven is total freedom. As children of God, we have been transferred into and now belong to the ageless, unshakable kingdom. Our Father has chosen gladly to give his children the kingdom and all that it contains. That's in Luke. The master's keys to the kingdom are given so that the children can bind and loose anything upon earth or in the heavens. Those who seek after the kingdom will find their every need met. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are revealed to all who pursue it. The kingdom of heaven is the absolute cause, never earned but received freely by all who are poor and humble enough to desire and seek it. The kingdom of God isn't built, but received and shared. The sons and daughters of the king share creative rulership with the Father and the Son as lights that illuminate the earth. The sons and daughters in the kingdom are voices, not echoes, declaring the gospel of the kingdom to everything that breathes. The kingdom is breathed in and peace is breathed out. The greatest of the kingdom of heaven are the servants of all, awakened children who keep, teach, and live love. The royal law of the kingdom is to treat one another as we want to be treated. The culture of the kingdom is love for one another, belief and faith in God. The kingdom of heaven completes and satisfies every human heart. I think that's all. I've got that written down. Thank you, Lord, for that kingdom. So I got this written down on one piece of paper. Sounded like a lot more than that. We've made several copies that are available at the Welcome Center just to have. They'll just give them to you. If we run out, we'll print some more. And I am just praying that we will continue to seek it, pursue it, chase after it, give it away, have our understanding changed, our heart changed, where we fully embrace all that Jesus has given us to do. So Lord, we just pray right now, Jesus, thank you for uncapping the kingdom, for giving it to us, for bringing it, for being the demonstration of it. And we're asking, Lord, for your help today inside of each one of us to be changed, to be followers of you and your kingdom, to be seekers of you and your kingdom. We would not be one-dimensional, compartmentalized in our lives, but we would allow your kingdom to invade every space of who we are so that your kingdom can, like leaven, invade every space on this planet. Making your name great, preparing for your return and all that's ahead. We bless you and I bless every person in here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So, thank you, Jesus. I also want to let you know we do have a handful of, I didn't bring one with me, but I wrote a book 10 years ago called, what's it called? The Extraordinary Journey. And it is a 21, 22-day experience where each day you dive into relationship with God and you also dive into giving things away to other people spiritually. And it can help if you're doing a 21-day fast, it can kind of help keep you on track for those kind of things and also stretch you in faith. So those are also in the Welcome Center as long as they last. I think they're $10 or $12 each. We have ministry teams up here if you'd like to receive prayer. If you didn't get a chance to receive communion, we also have some elements up here still left. And we have prophetic ministry that is in the back out in the family room as well if you'd like to receive some encouragement today. Some people to pray for you, love on you, and have a great day. I don't know who's going to win the game today. It doesn't really matter to me. But may it be a good one and may you enjoy the rest of your week. Bless you guys.